When they wrote the Declaration of Independence, they wrote that every human were created equal, and we all have the rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And there's been millions of people come to America because of this dream, that they can have a life, the life that they choose, that they can pursue their hopes and their dreams, and they don't have to worry about the government dictating to them exactly how they're supposed to live. And it's a great dream, but there's a bigger dream than the American dream that we all need to follow, and that's God's perfect will for our lives. And it's something that is so much bigger, so much better than anything that this country can ever offer us. And I believe that when we get into the God's perfect will, we find out what it is that God has for us, what He created us to do, what He gifted and talented us to do. When we find that spot to where we're serving God in His perfect will, I believe that He brings life to us. I believe He brings freedom to our lives. And I believe He brings joy into our lives. And that's what we've been talking about for the past month, is God's life for us. See, God wants us to have a rich and satisfying life. That's what He said in John 10:10, that that's the reason He came, to give us a rich and satisfying life. And we have an enemy that's trying to steal that from us. And I believe that, you know, when He died on the cross, He gave us freedom. Not only freedom from sin, He took away our sin, but He also gave us freedom in every area of our lives. That it's a spiritual freedom. It's a freedom in our bodies, our physical bodies. I believe He brings healing to us. I believe He wants to free us in our emotions and from our past. He wants to bring freedom to our entire lives. And lastly, we're talking about joy. And I believe this is a big piece that the American church is missing, that a lot of Christians are missing in their lives. If you look at a lot of Christians today, they don't have the joy anymore. The Bible tells us that the joy of the Lord is our strength. And we wonder why the church doesn't have much strength anymore. It's because they're missing their joy. They're missing out on their joy. And so last week we kind of talked about the connection between joy and thanksgiving. It was Thanksgiving week, and so we made that connection. And I believe that as we begin to give thanks, I believe we begin to bring, it brings joy into our lives. And I believe as we have joy in our lives that we begin to give thanks for what we have because of everything that God has given us. And there's a direct connection between joy and thanksgiving. Well, see, thanksgiving is a part of worship. And that's what we're going to talk about today is worship. The connection between joy and worship. And so let me kind of give you a definition of joy before we go on, so we kind of all on the same page of what we're talking about, because there's a difference between joy and happiness. If you look it up in the American Dictionary, it reads pretty much the same. But if we read our Bibles, there's a difference. Because happiness is more based on our happenings. It's the things that are going on around us. How people are treating us at work today. You know, what's going on in our family life. And a lot of our happiness is based on external things. It's based on just the happenings of our life. What mood we're in today. You know, depends on if we're happy today or not. And, you know, we know people who are up and down all the time. Just up and down, and all around. And it just seems like an emotional roller coaster almost. And you know, that's the happiness part on it. We all want happiness in our lives. But if we depend on happiness, then our life will always be up and down, with whatever circumstance, whatever emotion that we're having. And it'll just wreck our lives if we try to depend on that. But joy is different. I believe that joy is something that is internal. It's not based on what's going on around us. Because we can have joy when there's turmoil going on in our lives. And the way we get joy is true joy comes from God. True joy comes from God and nowhere else. If you do not have God in your life, then you do not have joy in your life. I believe it's all connected. Joy and our worship are connected. And so let me kind of give you a definition. I kind of looked up joy in the Bible and followed it out. And it had some interesting, because I've never really defined joy before. And, you know, it's kind of good to know what you're shooting for, you know, if you're you know, if you're wanting something. And so joy, this is how it's defined in the Bible. It's a cheerfulness. And I like this definition. It's a calm delight. It's a calm delight. See, lots of times we, you know, think of joy as being something that, you know, that's, you know, exciting and it's emotional and it's just like, wow, you know, it's in your face. You know, that's more what happiness is. You know, for all the LSU fans out there, you know, they were excited this weekend. And, you know, the rest of us were depressed for a few days after that game. And it was sad. But, you know, there was excitement and there was, you know, when the Razorbacks scored a touchdown, you know, there was excitement. You jumped up and down. But that's not joy. That's happiness. And joy is more of something that is more of a calm delight. It's something that's more constant in your life. It's not something that goes up when we score a touchdown and goes down when, you know, something bad happens. But joy is something that stays constant. Kind of the way I like to think about it, you know, everybody kind of has their happy place. You know, you hear people talking about, you know, go to your happy place. You know, and that's kind of what, everybody kind of has that image in their mind where they go when they just need calm in their life. You know, usually mine is sitting on the beach somewhere. Actually, we went to Jamaica a few years ago, and there's this certain spot on the beach where we like to hang out. And it was just some chairs, and there's about, you know, 10 foot of beach, and it was the ocean. And you could just sit there and just watch the waves, and it was just so relaxing and calming. And in my mind, there was nothing else there but us, and we're just relaxing, and it's kind of just it's a calm delight. You know, and when I need peace in my life, that's where I go in my mind. That's one of the places I go in my mind. Another place I like to go, for all you hikers out there, is Twin Falls at Richland Creek. It's a beautiful area. If you've never been there, you need to go. It's so beautiful and peaceful back in there, and it's these two waterfalls coming down in the same pool. And it's my favorite waterfall, and I got to go there a few weeks ago, and it was just so calming and relaxing. You know, it took us like 3 hours to get back there, but when we got back there, it made it all worthwhile, you know, and it's kind of my happy place that I go. And so that's kind of what our joy is. It's that calm delight. It's that constant thing in our lives that's it's not emotional. It's not up and down. Excuse me. So joy and worship is what we're talking about today. Let's all go to Psalms chapter 100. And let's read about this connection between joy and worship. Between joy and worship. We're going to talk about exactly what worship is here in a second. But I believe that there's a big connection there, because there's nothing better for me that when I'm having a bad day, when things just don't seem to be going right, that I can, you know, close my door, put on a little worship music, and just put my focus on God. And just start singing to God and just thinking about how huge God is. And just thinking about everything He's done for me and everything that He is to us. And the grace that He's poured out on us and the love. And I put my focus on Him and begin to worship Him. And everything else seems to melt away in my life. Anybody else ever been there to where you can just shut everything out and put your focus completely on God? And it seems like your problems just get smaller and smaller. See, the more we lift up God, the more we make Him big in our lives, the smaller our problems are in our lives. Because we know that God is bigger than anything we could ever face. God is all-powerful. He's all-knowing. He's everywhere. He created everything. He has everything at His disposal. And we're in relationship with Him. We're in covenant with Him. So the things that we face in our lives are small compared to who we're in relationship with. And that's kind of where we're going to talk about worship at. Psalms chapter 100. We're going to start in verse 1. It says, "Shout with joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him singing with joy. Acknowledge that the Lord is God. He made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture." And here we see the connection. It says we need to worship the Lord with gladness, come before Him singing with joy. And there's a big connection between our joy and our worship. Because I believe the more we worship, the more joy God begins to pour into our lives. I believe that if we need joy in our lives, we need to worship. Because there's something about when we get our focus off us and put it on God, how things change. Our perspective changes. And God's able to do things in our lives. Because it's so easy to get caught up in everyday life. It's so easy to get caught up in our problems and what's going on at work. And, you know, my kids aren't acting right. And this is going on. And it's so easy to get just caught up in it. And it just seems like a big whirlwind. We need to stop. Put our focus on God and worship Him. And allow Him to calm our lives. He's the one that calms the storms in our lives. We can't do it. But when God puts His hand on our situation, calm happens. The calm delight begins to come. So let's dive into this and see what worship is all about. Because a lot of people, when you mention worship, they think about coming to church, being in a song service, hearing a sermon, and going home. That's what a lot of people think worship is. See, worship is so much bigger than that. That is just a very tiny piece of what worship is. And until we get the whole picture, till we begin to participate in the whole part of worship. See, God is looking for people who are ready to worship Him. He said He's looking for people to worship Him in spirit and in truth. He's looking for people with hearts of worship that He can invest in, that He can pour His blessing out on, and He can pour His joy and peace into people that He can trust that's going to take that and take it to the world that so desperately needs it. Worship. Romans chapter 12 is where we're going to start talking about worship today. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. It says this, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all that He has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind that He will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship Him." Does that sound like a song service to you? No, it does not. Worship is so much more than coming to church. See, worship is not an event. Worship is not an action. It's not something that you can point at and say, that is worship right there. But worship is so much more than just a one-time event. It's not something that we go to. It's not something that we just do every once in a while. Worship is our lifestyle. Worship is our mode of operation. Worship is the way that we think. Worship is the way that we act every single day. My question to you is, what are you worshiping? Because all of us worship. We were created to worship. That is one of the big things that God created us to do, is to worship Him, to bring glory to Him. We were created to worship. Just like the angels were created, God has angels around His throne all the time, bowing down, saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was, who is, and is to come." There's constantly worship going on in the presence of God. We were created to worship. What are you worshiping? See, it's something that we do. It's our lifestyle. It's our mode of operation. We all worship something. See, worship is everything. See, God wants us to give everything to Him. That's what it was saying in Romans 12. He says, give your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to Him. This is how you truly worship God. It's giving of ourselves. It's giving everything to God. So let me kind of define worship. Let me kind of give you some generic definitions. And then we're going to look at some definitions out of the Bible. The word that's actually translated worship. Some generic definitions of worship are to bring glory to God. I like to say putting the spotlight on Him. That's kind of a different way of seeing that. You know, putting the spotlight on Him and not us. It's lifting Him up and making Him known among the people around us. That's truly what worship is. But if we look at the words in the Bible that are actually translated worship, we see two different translations. And you see it both in the New Testament and the Old Testament. And it's these same two words that pop up in a lot of our definitions of worship. The first one means to actually to bow or to kneel or to kiss. And with this definition of worship, it kind of reminds me, one of my favorite movies is Gladiator. There's just something about a good war movie, you know, Gladiator, Braveheart, you know, some of those that just really, you know, kind of get you going. I know it does for the guys. I don't know what it does for the girls, but, you know, for the guys, you know, there's something, you know, there's a warrior on the inside of us. There's an adventure that we want to go after, and every single guy has that. And so movies like Gladiator and Braveheart and all those, you know, kind of get the guys going and kind of get you pumped up. But, you know, in these movies, you know, you see the king, and you have the knights or the warriors that are fighting for the king. They're giving their entire lives for the king, for the cause of the kingdom. And anytime the king walks in, the guys always bow before the king. And it's a sign of honor. It's a sign of reverence. It's a sign of loyalty. It's a sign of submission. And this is what this word is talking about, is that, you know, we need to honor God. We need to bow before Him. We need to give our loyalty, give our devotion to God. And this is the first word that we see for worship. And, you know, it's great that, you know, there's a lot of ways that people express their relationship with God. You know, there's people that, you know, when they come in the presence of God, it's just like they get still. You know, and they're in the presence of God and they want to reverence God. And there's other people that, you know, that express their relationship with God, you know, like, you know, God is my homie. He's my homeboy. You know, God is our friend. And God wants that personal relationship with us, you know, and everything. But, you know, in that friendship, there needs to be reverence and honor. We need to bow before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and give Him glory. And this is the first sign of worship. It's an honoring God. And I believe this is more of the personal connection that we have with God. It's kind of the private relationship with God that we have. Because I believe that all of us, at some point, who are Christians, have had that moment where we realize that we are nothing, that we are sinful, that our lives are broken, and that we need God. And we humbled ourselves before Him and said, God, I need You in my life. I need You to take control of my life. And you submitted to Him. You gave Him your devotion. You gave Him your loyalty. And that's our personal relationship with God that we have. And it's something that we need to do every single day in our lives is humble ourselves before God. And to give Him everything, to give our bodies a living sacrifice to Him. This is how we truly worship God. It's an honoring thing that we have with God. It's God-focused. It's putting the focus on Him. Because no matter how strong the warrior is, no matter how many of the enemy that the warrior has defeated, he's still under the power, the authority of the king. He gets all of his power and authority from the king. And he needs to honor that relationship. We need to honor our relationship with God. We need to reverence God. It's that personal connection that we have to Him where we give Him our all. This is our up and down relationship with God. Because if this part of our relationship isn't strong, then we can't live out this part of our relationship with God. There's going to be a big disconnect. Why do you think so many Christians live as hypocrites? Because this part is not right. They don't reverence God. They don't honor God. They give God lip service. They come to service on Sunday and they sing to God and they amen, and they do all of this stuff, but when they walk out of the doors, it doesn't change their lives at all. If you don't have this part of your relationship with God right, then everything else is going to be messed up. We got to get that right. The second definition that we see of worship in the scripture, the word actually means to serve. And this is our action part. This is our service to God. This is what I would call our public relationship with God. See, lots of times our public and our private relationship with God are different. And that's why people call Christians hypocrites, because they don't see the connect. But see, God just doesn't want part of our lives. God just doesn't want us to study and read and do this thing, you know, do the church thing. But He wants to be a part of all of our lives. He wants it to become action, to become obedience to His Word. That's the second definition, is to serve, to obey, to put action to our personal relationship. So how does all this play out in our lives? How does this all work out? See, in our private time with God is the first part. See, our devotion, our reverence, all of that stuff needs to be our private life with God. See, so many Christians don't have a strong private relationship with God. You know, they want to wear the Christian badge saying, yeah, I got saved. You know, God forgave me of all my sins and, you know, I'm a brand new creation. And they want to wear the Christian badge, but they don't want to put the time in to where they actually reverence God and honor Him in their private life. See, we have to have private time with God. Because if the only time that you spend with God is right here on Sunday mornings, then you're missing out. You are missing out. Because there is so much more to God than this. The best part of God is what you find yourself. When you're at home, when you're studying your Bible, when you're praying, when you're singing to Him. How many times do we actually sing worship songs to God outside of the church? It should be an everyday occurrence in our lives. I'm not saying that I do this perfectly. No, I'm not up here preaching as if I'm perfect. It's something that I know that I need to do. And when I do it, the joy spills out on me and the peace. And God can bring perspective in my life. He can bring clear direction in my life when I'm doing that. It's the time that we sit and be quiet in front of God and just listen. How much time do we spend listening to God? We're so quick to throw up a prayer when bad things are going on, when we need something for God. We're real quick to pray a prayer, but do we ever stop and listen to what He has to say back to us? See, with every promise of God, there's a God part and then there's an us part. There's always a God part and then there's an us part. See, when you got saved, what did you have to do? You had to confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. And God took care of the rest. With every promise of God, there's a part for us to play that activates the promise of God for God to do His part. See, that's where the worship comes in. When you pray, are you listening? Are you waiting for God to tell you what you need to do? What is your part of the thing that you need to do? What is the obedience that you need to live out in your life for this to happen? I'm not saying that all of our prayers are answered based on us or not. I'm not saying that. I believe God's bigger than that. But sometimes He needs to change us in order to get something through us. There's times that He needs to change our heart, change our attitude, change the way that we're acting. And when He can do that, then He can begin to work in the people around us. So there might be someone at work that really gets on your nerves, that just really rubs you wrong. Well, how are you reacting to that person? Are you reacting with the same manner that they're giving you? See, maybe God's trying to change your heart. Maybe He needs you to act differently. And when you change, God can begin to work in that other person. I don't know if that was for anybody else, but that was for me. God was speaking to me on that one. I need to change my attitude with some of my relationships to change the way people are reacting to me. Wow. Didn't know I was up here to preach to myself. Anyway, we need time to listen and to meditate on God's word. That's our private life, our devotional time. We got to spend that time with God on our own. Then there's our public relationship with God. This is our public displays of our relationship with God. This is our obedience to God's word. Are you living out what God's word says? Are you being obedient to what he wants you to do? Are you putting action to God's word? We read it in James chapter 1 a few weeks ago that, you know, faith without works is dead. If you say you believe this, but you don't do anything with it, it's useless to you. It's not going to produce anything in your life. You have to live out God's word. You have to live like Jesus. How would Jesus live your life? This is what worship is, our public displays of our relationship with God. This is our going out and serving our community. This is who you are when you're at work, who you are when you're at home. How do you express your relationship with God to the people around you? This is what the second word of worship is, to serve. What are your actions saying? Are you being obedient? Are you listening to God and acting on what he wants us to do? Are you telling other people about Jesus? Let's go to John 15. John 15. I believe this passage of Scripture sums up a lot of stuff right here. And, you know, I've always read this. And you know, this is talking about, you know, I'm the vine, you're the branches. And there's this connection between that we need to be connected with God. And as we're connected with God, we can bear fruit. And I've always, you know, kind of got the concept of it. But God really showed this to me this week as I was studying this out. John chapter 15, we're going to start in verse 5. It says, yes, I am the vine and you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. See, this word remain here means to abide or to wait or to be in the presence of, to be with. It's that spending time with God. It's that personal being with God. See, so many times we think that, you know, I need to do my devotional time. I need to read my Bible. I need to pray. I need to do this. I need to do this. And we put God in our to-do list. Okay, I need to do my God time today. And then we do our God time, then we go on. But see, God wants us to be. God wants us to be with him. He wants us to be in his presence. There's something about just hanging out in God's presence that God can actually begin to work in your lives. And not just something, okay, I've got 10 minutes. Let's go. You know, God doesn't work within our time frames. You got to be. You have to hang out with God. You have to abide. You have to remain. See, it kind of reminds me of the kind of a student-teacher relationship or maybe a mentor relationship to where you basically you're doing life together, an apprentice relationship to where, you know, like the disciples, they dropped everything in their lives and they spent 3 years with Jesus. They followed him around. They listened to what he had to say. They did the things that he did. They said the things that he said. They learned from him. This is the idea of this remaining in God. Being connected with God is, you know, we've got to be there. We've got to allow the time for God to work in our lives. We have to allow the time to just sit and listen. Our lives are just so rushed most of the time. I mean, we're just so busy these days that we pencil in God for this amount of time. And it doesn't work that way. But we need to have that relationship time, that personal time. He says, but if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. Listen to this. This brings great glory to my Father. It's one of our definitions of worship, to bring glory to God. See, when we do this, when we have this relationship with God, when we remain with him, when we abide in him, when we are in his presence and we allow that connection to happen, we begin to produce fruit in our lives. The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, long-suffering, goodness, kindness, all those fruit of the Spirit begin to come out in our lives as we spend time with God. And it says this is how you bring great glory to God. Verse 9. says, I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love. When you obey my commandments, the second definition we said of worship, to serve. When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love. Just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. Verse 11, I have told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. And there's your connection. Joy, worship. See, when we begin to live lives like this, when we begin to be the living sacrifice to God, giving ourselves completely to Him, spending time with Him, having that personal connection, and as we begin to step out and obey God, this joy begins to overflow in our lives. There's lots of us in this room that have experienced that joy of when you're walking in God's perfect will. You're doing His thing. You're spending time with Him, and your relationship with Him is strong, and you're able to live your life in front of other people, and other people see into your lives and see that you're different, that you don't have to go out and party to have fun, and that there's just something different about you, and they see the love that you have in your life, and they begin to want that. And you're living out the gospel in your life, and people's lives are changed around you. They see the fruit. This joy shows up in your life. I've had people email me. Like, I remember when we lived in Tulsa, me, Kevin, and Chris actually all lived together, and we worked at Steak and Ale together. We were all going to school over there, and we worked at Steak and Ale. And I mean, of course, there's all kinds of people when you work in restaurants. Anybody that works in restaurants know that you work with all kinds of people, with all kinds of issues and all kinds of beliefs, and we just lived our lives. You know, we had that relationship with God going strong, and we were living it out in our lives. And after we moved back to Batesville, we got an email from one of the ladies that was a bartender there, actually. And she said, it's like, you know, when you guys were all here, you know, y'all were talking about God and you're living your lives, and it changed my life. I got back into church, and I began to learn about God, and she's a children's pastor now over in Tulsa somewhere. Just because we lived our lives. Because we were doing that. And that just brings such joy to your life. When people can look into your lives and see God. They can see the difference that God has made in your life. And they want that for their life. And when they dive in, it changes their life. And then they dive in and it changes other people's lives. And it begins to affect people all around the world. This is what worship is. This is what worship is about. It's not an event. It's not something that you come on Sunday to sing a few songs, to hear a sermon, to give in the offering and go home. That is not worship. But when we truly worship God, we devote our whole lives to Him. We get to know God in our private lives. We live it out in obedience. And through that, we serve the people around us. And that's when God can begin to work in your friend's life. We all have people in our lives that need God. We all have people in our lives that we've been working on. We all have family members that we want to see saved. How do we do that? We worship. We have our lives of worship to God. See, when we're at work, and someone's bad-mouthing us and putting us down, and we turn around and love them back, that's worship. When we have that person, when we're standing in line at the grocery store, they, you know, they look at you funny and they cut in front of you, and you know, they start talking bad about you, and you just say, God bless you, come ahead. How are you today? That's worship. Worship doesn't always happen right here in this building. Most of your worship should happen out there. How are you worshiping? Who are you worshiping today? Let's pray. Prayer team, come ahead. Father God, we just thank you so much, God, for everything. God, we just want to reverence you today. God, we want to honor you today. Father, I just pray that we can bring our lives to the altar today and make it a living sacrifice for you, Father. Just pray that you just help us to put away our selfishness. God, our own plans, our own desires, our own stuff that we have in our lives, God, and that we can place it at the cross and give it all to you, God. And I just pray that you just make something great of our lives. Father, we just pray that, God, you just give us all a desire to have that personal connection, that personal relationship with you. God, that it's not just a Sunday morning thing, but God, it's an everyday thing in our lives. God, we can't live it out perfectly in our lives that we spend time with you every day for hours on end. God, but I just pray that we spend time with you. God, that as we're at work, that we have moments that we can spend praying to you. God, that we can spend worshiping you, that we can spend listening to you. Father, thank you so much, God, that you have given us access to you, that you've given us access through Jesus so that we can come into the presence of God, so that we can have relationship with you. God, I just pray that we just don't take that lightly. God, that we can be able to take what you've given us, God, and just live our lives in a way that glorifies you, that brings glory to you, that lifts you up and makes you known in the world around us. Father, we thank you and we love you in Jesus' name. Maybe you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ. You don't have that personal relationship. You've never trusted him with your life. Today is your day. We're going to give you a chance to come up here and pray. Maybe realize you need to make some changes in your life. These people are here to pray with you and lift you up and encourage you. So if you need prayer for any reason,